This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursalin, nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman katiran amma ba'd. By the fadl, the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we reach number 40, where the Shaykh begins to speak about the unseen. He says in question 40, when it is said to you, does anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know the ghayb, that which is completely hidden? Say, no one knows the ghayb except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proof is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُطْلِعَكُمْ عَلَى الْغَيْبِ. Nor would Allah disclose to you the ghayb. فَقُلْ إِنَّمَا الْغَيْبُ لِلَّهِ. Say, the ghayb belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the statement of Allah, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لا يعلمها إلا هو. And with him are the keys of the ghayb. No one knows them except him. طيب. From this we understand that the unseen is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one from the human beings knows the unseen. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't know the unseen. This is something that is specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for anyone that tries to claim that he knows the unseen, this would be an act that would take him out of the fold of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes him in the Quran, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا. I do not own any sort of harm or benefit to myself except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees. And he said, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. Had I known the unseen, I would have been excessive in using it, in using the unseen. Which clearly shows in this ayah that the unseen is solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not know the ghayb. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. He is the knower of the ghayb, the unseen, and he doesn't make it apparent to anyone. فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَى غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا إِلَّا مَنِ ارْتَضَى مِنْ رَسُولٍ. Except those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with from the messengers. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to show some sort of the unseen to the prophets or the messengers, he does this. But as to say that the anbiya or the prophets or any of the human being know the ghayb like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it, then this is firmly incorrect and it's not from the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. And likewise, we have people now that claim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they attribute to him some of the things that are solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the ghayb, or that he is here with us, sitting here with us, and that he's everywhere. This is like some of the affairs that contradicts the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's some things that are specific for him, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it stays specific for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 41. When it is said to you, when will be the final hour? Or when will the final hour occur? Say, the matter of the hour is from the matters of the ghayb, the matters of the unseen, which no one knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Verily Allah alone has knowledge of the hour. And his statement, إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. For him alone is attributed knowledge of the hour. And the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one knows when the hour will occur except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Transmitted by al-Bukhari and Muslim. From what we know regarding the hour is that the hour is close. At the time when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam From what we know of the hour is that the hour is close. وَمَا أَمْرُ السَّاعَةِ إِلَّا كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ أَوْ هُوَ أَقْرَبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that the hour is like far away, like the blink of an eye, or it's even closer. And the Prophet mentioned to us 1400 years ago when he said, بُعِثْتُ أَنَا وَالسَّاعَةَ كَهَاتَيْنِ. He said, I have been sent and me and the hour are like this. So he connected السَّبَابَةَ وَالْوُسْطَى وَأَصْبِعُ الْوُسْطَى. He connected his thumb and the middle finger to show you how close, the sababat wal wusta, the middle finger, and the one next to it. This two. He connected the, I don't know how to say this in English, what do they call the? The finger at the?
Index.
Okay, the index finger, yeah? Okay, basically, if you look on your, it's my left hand, if you look at your left hand, the one after the thumb and the one next to it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that me and the hour are like this, that close. From what we know is that the hour is close, as for anyone saying that the hour is going to be at this exact time, or this exact hour, then this is incorrect. And likewise we know, that the hour will be on a Friday, like it was mentioned in the hadith which was narrated by Malik on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the sa'ah will be on a Friday. But we don't know which year it's going to be, in which month it's going to be, or any other time or the exact moment. All we know what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, and that's it. As for some of the people, they try to calculate that the middle finger stands for 1,000 years and the one next to it is a 500 years. We don't know about this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We say, well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in the Quran, verily Allah alone has knowledge of the hour. And some of the things that are related to the hour that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. Tayyib. When it is said to you, how many are the conditions? Number 42. When it is said to you, how many are the conditions for a deed to be accepted? Say three. So, and the first one is Islam, meaning a person has to be a Muslim in order for his deeds to be accepted. The Shaykh then said, so the disbeliever, Allah does not accept his deeds. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ أَبَاً مَنْثُورًا. And we shall turn to what they have done of deeds and make them as dispersed dust particles. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, إِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah only accepts from the righteous, those who fear Him. طيب, the first condition, which is that a person needs to be a Muslim. If a person is a kafir and he is spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, doing good deeds, even if he prays or performs hajj or does any of these acts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept it from him. It is not accepted from him. And likewise the Quraysh, they used to spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in the Quran, وَمَا مَنَعَهُمْ أَن تُقْبَلَ مِنْهُمْ نَفَقَاتُمْ إِلَّا أَنُمْ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ. And what prevented them from having their deeds accepted is that they used to, that they were believers, that they were disbelievers, those that disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we understand from this that the first action is a person needs to be a Muslim. The first condition is that he needs to be a Muslim, a person of Tawheed, in order for his deeds to be accepted. The second condition, Ikhlas, having sincerity for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they were not commanded except to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being sincere to Him in the religion. And the hadith of Al-Qudsi of Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah said, I am the most free from having a partner. Whoever performs a deed in which he joins others as a partner with me, I will leave it. Meaning that deed, and that in which he joins as a partner with me. And we mentioned before as well that shirk is two types. The first type, which is shirk al-akbar, the major shirk. The second type, the minor shirk. And the minor shirk is showing off. The minor shirk is showing off. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, أَلَا أُنَبِّئُكُمْ عَنِ الشِّرْكِ الْأَصْغَرِ فَقَالَ الرِّيَاءِ. In the end of the hadith, he said الرِّيَاء, narrated by Nisa'i. Okay, when a person now does an action, whether it is salat or whether it is zakat or any other action, but he does it to show off, or he does it for someone else's sake, then this person's action will not be accepted. Even if he does it, it will not be accepted. The second condition is al-ikhlas. طيب. The third condition, al-mutaba' li-rasulillah, to be in agreement with that which the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was sent with. And the proof is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does a deed that is not from our affairs, then it is rejected. It is rejected. A person might be a Muslim. He might likewise have ikhlas, sincere actions. Does it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he doesn't fulfill the third condition, then this will not be accepted from him. How many people, they're very, very sincere in what they do? For example, you find people, they celebrate the birthday of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're Muslimin, and likewise they do it in sincerity. They think it's part of the religion, but it's actually not. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept this action. Why? Because it's not in accordance to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it goes on in the hadith when the Prophet said, whoever does a deed that is not from the affair, from our affair, then it is rejected. It is rejected. So these three conditions, if any of them goes missing, then this person's actions will not be accepted. Taib, number 43. When it is said to you, how many are the types of tawassul? To seek a means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially when asking Him for a need, that are permissible. Number one, tawassul through the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. There's ways in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, you have the way of going straight and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for anything that you need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أَدْعُونِ يَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah said, invocate me and I will reply to you and I will accept your invocations. And likewise, He said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And if my slave, he asks me, I am close. And likewise, you know the hadith when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down in the final third of the night, He said, مَنْ يَدْعُونِي فَأَسْتَجِبْ لَهُ. Whoever asks me, I will give him. As for the shahid, the point is you find there's other ways in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, and likewise calling unto Him. And from them is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when making dua through His names and attributes. Through His names and attributes. And by you doing this, it's a very good way, or there's a very big chance of your dua being accepted. Of your dua being accepted. You have the hadith which is narrated by Nisa'i on the authority of Burayda radiallahu anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka anta Allah al-ahad al-samad alladhi lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. This dua, if a person was to invocate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by it, there's a very high chance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts his dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, after hearing this, لَقَدْ سَأَلَ اللَّهُ بِإِسْمِهِ الْأَعْظَمِ أَلَّذِي إِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى وَإِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. This individual, after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam overheard him, he said, this person has asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his great name, بِإِسْمِهِ الْأَعْظَمِ إِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَعْطَى وَإِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابَ. If he asks, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers. And when he invocates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by it, he replies to him and accepts it. وَإِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَجَابْ. He answers to his call. طيب. So you have this way now of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His names and attributes. And his statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shaykh then mentioned an ayah, وَأَدْخِلْنِي بِرَحْمَتِكَ فِي عِبَادِكَ الصَّالِحِينَ, and admit me by your mercy into the ranks of your righteous slaves. طيب. The second type, the slaves tawassul, seeking a means to Allah subhanahu to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through his righteous deeds. And the proof is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Those who say, our Lord, indeed we have believed, so forgive us our sins and save us from the punishment of the fire. And his statement, رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا بِمَا أَنزَلْتَ وَاتَّبَعْنَا الرَّسُولِ فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Our Lord, we believe in what you have sent down, and we follow the messenger, so write us down amongst those who bear witness. And from the sunnah, the hadith of the three from the rock, cover them by the covering, the opening of the cave on them, so each of them may tawassul through their sincere deeds. Muttafaqun alayh, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Umar. طيب. By you making dua and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept your invocation through your righteous actions, this is likewise a means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you all know the three that were stuck in the cave. Okay? Which is mentioned in Sahihain. One of them, when they were stuck in the cave, they decided to mention their deeds and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their deeds in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them relief and open the gate for them, or to open the thing that was covering the cave for them because they couldn't get out. One of them was an individual who was very, very good to his parents, was very, very good to his parents. And one night, he stood all night long with milk, waiting for his parents to wake up because he didn't want to disturb them. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve them by this righteous action that he done for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second individual was a person who loved his cousin very, very much. So one time, she asked him for money, and he said he was willing to give her this money by the condition that he commits zina with her, commits fornication with her. But she told him, do not open the gate except in a halal way. So he left her for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left her for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he let her go and he gave her the money. So when he was stuck in the cave, he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve them due to his righteous action that he did. And the third individual, he had a man working for him, and this person one time that used to work for him didn't pick up his wage that he was working for. So this individual one time he went and he wasn't to be seen again. So the owner carried on working for many, many months. This individual came back to him and he said, and he asked for his wage. The owner, in the past few months, he was working with the money. He put it back into the business. He was working with the money until his business became very, very big. And likewise, his mawashi, his livestock, the cows and animals that he used to have, they increased. طيب. So the point is, after this individual came back to him when he asked for his wage, he told him that all them livestock, all them cows, sheep and lamb that he had, okay, and that were between the two mountains, he said, this is like yours, it's yours, it's from your wage that I used to work with, and this is from me to you. So this individual thought he was playing games with him, or that he was joking with him, so he kept on looking back as well, thinking that this individual might come and do something to him and take his money, etc. So this individual took all this life. So the shahid is, they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve him and to open his gate, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the rock, or opened the gate, or this thing that was covering the cave, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieved them. So the shahid is, there's ways in order to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like a number of ways, a variety of ways, and the two things that we've mentioned are from the three that I'm going to be mentioning now. And there's one left where the shaykh, he mentioned tawassul through the righteous man's supplication. And the proof is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, that he said, while the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving a khutbah, a man suddenly came to him and said, O Messenger of Allah, the rain has been withheld. So invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grants us with water. So he supplicated and rain fell upon us. And there's a comment at the bottom when the Shaykh, he mentioned, so this hadith, in it they made tawassul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the supplication of the best of the creation, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they did not sit in their houses saying, we ask you by the high standing of your Prophet or by the right of your Prophet, that if that were permissible, they would have done that. The Shaykh is trying to mention some of the actions of the people that happens at this very day. You find people, they say, Allahumma inna nas'aluka bihaqqin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or bijahi. When they make dua, they use the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they say things like, when the Shaykh, he mentioned, by the high standing of your Prophet. Okay, by the high standing of your Prophet, or by the right of your Prophet. Okay, this is a way of making dua in an innovated way. The Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim, look what they done in the hadith. They went to the Prophet, they asked him to make dua. They asked him to make dua in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send down the rain. They never sat in the house saying what the Shaykh mentioned here. Oh Allah, we ask you through the high standing of your Prophet. They didn't do this. But at this time, you find this is very, very common. It's very, very common. And the people, they think this is something permissible. Tayyib. There's three conditions that in order for you to do this, that you have to fulfill. When you go up to a righteous person and you ask him to make dua, this person has to be, he has to be alive. He has to be alive. And likewise, he has to be present. And third thing, he has to be hearing. He has to be hearing. Hayyun qadirun. And he has to likewise have ability. He has to have ability. Him hearing and being present is something essential, and it goes under each other. A person has to have the ability, and likewise he has to have the hearing and likewise be present. And the third thing, he has to be alive. If a dead person, you can't go up to his grave and start asking him to do things for you or try and get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through him. And the Shaykh then mentioned, طيب, however, none of them that did that in his lifetime nor after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed Umar ibn al-Khattab performed the prayer for rain after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he requested Abbas that he invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them, because he was an old righteous man, as is explained in Fath al-Bari, that Abbas invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if they had made tawassul for, or by his Abbas's high standing, they would have made tawassul by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's high standing while he was alive. But they did not do that. Also, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu performed the prayer for rain. Then he said, O Allah, verily we seek intercession with you today through Yazid ibn al-Aswad al-Jurashi. O Yazid, raise your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He then raised his hands and the people raised their hands. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them water to the point that the people were almost unable to reach their homes. Ibn Asakir transmitted it with a sahih chain. Also referred to the book of At-Tawassul, page 45 by the Allama al-Albani. I hope you understand the difference between the tawassul that is permissible and some of the shirkiyat and the bid'ah that the people do. Okay? When you seek tawassul through a righteous person, imagine now we have Muhammad at the back of the room. He's a righteous person. He does many, many good deeds. We ask him to invocate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. Or we ask him to invoke Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to other things. Tayyib, this person is with us. He's likewise hears us. He has the ability, and likewise is alive. Okay? As for some of the things that the people do, they go to graves, or they say, Oh Allah, we ask you through the right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or his high standing, and things like that. There's a difference between the two. Okay, inshallah, we proceed after the adhan. Okay, inshallah, swiftly moving on. Number 44, when it is said to you, is there a good bid'ah in the religion? Say, every bid'ah is misguidance. And the proof is the hadith of Al-Irbad. That was Al-Irbad. Al-Irbad. Of Al-Irbad, that was mentioned at the point 19. And in it, every bid'ah is a misguidance. And the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say when he gave a khutbah, to proceed, verily the best speech of the is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad, and the worst of the affairs are those that are newly invented, and every bid'ah is a misguidance. And it has been narrated on Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I arrive at the hold, the reservoir, before you. Whoever comes to it will drink from it, and whoever drinks from it will never get thirsty afterwards. Indeed, groups of people will come to me. I will recognize them and they will recognize me. Then there will be an obstruction between me and them. I will say, verily they are from me. Then it will be said, verily you do not know that which they have changed after you. Then I will say, away, away, suhqan, suhqan, or bu'dan, bu'dan, with those who have changed after me. Rawahu Bukhari wa Muslim. Tayyib. The Shaykh mentioned the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that every bid'ah is a misguidance. Every innovation is a misguidance. Here we're talking about the affairs in the religion, not the planes. Someone might say to you, if this is haram or this is bid'ah, then why do you take a car? Or why do you drive on a plane? Why do you use forks? And things like that. Things, for example, things that are not even, or have no relation to the religion. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to us, man ahdatha fi amrina, whoever innovates in our affairs. He never said whoever innovates in our worldly affairs. So it's very, very important, this farq, this difference between the two affairs. This issue of having planes and having bridges and likewise having cars has nothing to do with our religion. We're talking about things being added to our religion, to the affairs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for these affairs, they are completely forbidden. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to talk about this issue of bid'ah when he used to give khutbahs, meaning on a constant basis. Okay? You have some that say, all these people they talk about is bid'ah and shirk. Bid'ah and shirk. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam constantly speak about the issue? Because of its importance. When we teach or when we give khutbahs or muhadharat, they say that the Salafis or the Wahhabis are like this. All they speak about is shirk and bid'ah, which is actually not the case. Even if we was to do that, or the Salafis was to do that, then there would be no harm. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to speak about it in his khutbahs on a constant basis. طيب. Number 45, when it is said to you, who are the worst of creators? Creatures, okay. Who are the worst of creatures, whom it is incumbent upon us to hate them? Say, they are the Jews and the Christians and the polytheists. And the proof is a statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَّةِ. Verily those who disbelieve from the people of the book and the polytheists will be in the fire of hell, abiding eternally therein. Those are the worst of creatures. And his statement, لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله. You will not find a people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the last day making friendship with those who oppose Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. This chapter is very, very important because it teaches us the issue of al-wala wal-bara. The issue of al-wala wal-bara. Making alliances and freeing yourself. Okay? And likewise the issue of hating and loving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find a lot of those that become deviant from the Hizbiyya, etc., who have a very big problem regarding this issue of al-wala wal-bara. We have a sharia. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith that was narrated by Abu Dawood on the authority of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu. He said, "Man ahabba lillah wa abghadha lillah wa a'ta lillah wa man'a lillah faqad istakmala al-iman." Whoever hates for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, loves for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives and prevents for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person has completed his iman. طيب. And like was mentioned in another hadith, أوثق عرى الإيمان الحب في الله والبغض فيه. The highest point of iman is that you love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you hate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was narrated by Abu Dawood, it was narrated by Ibn Abi Shaybah. Loving and hating for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is part of your religion. You hate a kafir, a mushrik. Why? Because this person is committing shirk. Bughdan kulliyan. You hate him, a full hating. But you don't hate the individual that is committing innovation, the mubtadi', like you hate the kafir. Because this mubtadi' is still your brother in Islam. You're still a Muslim. كُلُّم بِحَسَبِهِ. Every person you hate him due to his accordance to ma'asi and likewise due to his accordance to his sins. A kafir, you fully hate him. As for a mubtadi', you hate him but you don't hate him like you hate the kafir. And likewise the individual that commits disobedience, he does ma'asi, you hate him due to his accordance of his sins. But you don't hate him like you hate the mubtadi'. And likewise you don't hate the mubtadi' like you hate the kafir. You find this very, very deficient in many of the people. When it is someone who is from their friends or from their group, they might not make inkar on him. Okay? They might not disapprove of some of the things that he's doing. He could be doing ma'asi, disobediences, and many, many other acts. He won't speak about him. Or he won't hate his actions or hate him due to what he is doing. And this is one of the main traits of the Hizbiyya. Those who commit partisanship. We have a great example in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned in the hadith. It was on the authority of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As. He said that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying loudly. And he wasn't doing this quietly. أَلَا إِنَّ آلَ أَبِي يَعْنِي فُلَانًا لَيْسُ لِي بِأَوْلِيَا إِنَّمَا وَلِيَ اللَّهُ وَصَالِحِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Verily the individual who is from the آلَ of my family, who is from the people or the members of my family, he is not from my friends. Rather from my friends are Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Salihin. Allah wa Salih al Mu'mineen. Those that are righteous. Those that are righteous. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to love and likewise keep friends in order to what they had in accordance to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would be making friends, loving and hating for that sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that Fulan is from my tribe, whatever he does, I'm with him. The principle of George Bush. If you're either against me or you're with me. Things like that. What was it again? With me or against me, innit? With me or against me? With us or against us. With us or against us, as long as you're with me, I'm going to be with you. And if you're against me, khalas, I'm not with you. Things like that. And you have a lot of people who have deviated away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sunnah, they have this very, very disliked and defamed trait of not loving and hating for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And likewise, you have the ayah which is mentioned in Surah Al-Mumtahina, a very perfect example in Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Look what he did. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعُوا إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ مِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ بَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that you have a perfect example in Ibrahim. When they said to their people, إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. We are free from you and from what you worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enmity and hatred has started between me and you. This is his father, and this is his people. When they opposed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happened? He freed himself from them. He freed himself from them. And this is how we should be. We dislike and we like, we love and we hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person is clearly doing misguidance, he is innovating in the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do? We hate what he's upon. We hate what he is upon, and we hate him due to what he has in accordance or in disobedience to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. I wanted to finish this, but I don't think we're going to get a chance to finish it. I'm going to touch on to it even more next week. I'm going to start from 46. It's very, very important issues, things related to democracy, voting, partisanship, and likewise some of the most astray sects in the claim of Islam, who claim to be Muslims. And inshallah ta'ala, I'll speak more about this issue about wala wal bara tomorrow, next week as well. And if anyone has any questions related to what we took today, tafaddal. And next week we will finish the chapter of Al-Aqidah and Tawheed. Muhammad.
Friendship.
Yeah.
Does that mean acquaintance as well? Because if you don't have acquaintance with kuffar, how can you give him that one?
Okay, Tayyib, a very good question. What do you mean by acquaintance again?
Acquaintance.
Like you know alliances them. And going with them, or you mean things like that?
Just you know them.
Okay, Tayyib. As for the issue of giving da'wah, we're talking about, for example, now, I can give da'wah to a person or to a kafir, but at the same time hate him to death of what he's upon. Okay? I hate his aqidah. I hate what he does in the church and things like this. Or you hate what he does in the temple. And you hate him because of what he has in accordance to the religion of Islam. Things like that. And at the same time, when you give him da'wah, obviously you be very nice to him. You only be nice to him when you give him da'wah. Obviously, likewise, when you see him, you show good traits to him, and likewise you be very nice to him. Because if you start from a very, very starting point, you start showing severeness. Okay? And likewise, look what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam done. And he's mentioned in the Quran, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّ. And had you been harsh to them and severe to them, you would have made them run away. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was calling Quraysh to the religion of Islam, was he going around killing them, slaughtering them? No, he wasn't. At the start, he was giving da'wah. He was very, very lenient, and likewise was very, very soft to them, showed a lot of good traits of softness and things like that. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in the Quran regarding Musa and Harun, when he sent them to Fir'aun, فَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Go to him and say to him speech of softness so that he may remember. If I see a person now, okay, walking on the street, I start shouting at him, I start going mad against him, is he going to accept the deen of Islam? The answer is no. He'll probably look at you and walk away. Wallahi, he'll look at you and walk away. And he'll say, أخي, that this is Islam. This is Al-Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to call the people with hikmah. ادعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعدة الحسن وجادلهم بالتي أحسن. And call the people with hikmah. And dispute with them in a good way. And likewise, the people of the book, وَلَا تُجَادِلُ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنُ. And do not dispute with the people of the book, except in a good way. So when you give them da'wah, you show them good traits, softness, things like that, and you try to call them to the deen of Islam in this particular manner. Because if you don't do that, you're going to make them flee away. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to his Prophet, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا. Had you been harsh to them, and likewise been severe to them, you would have made them run away. So your usloob, your da'wah, when you call to them, your behavior and etiquette, you have to make it apparent to them. You have to make it apparent to them so that they like the deen and they like the Muslimin. Is that better, yeah? Inshallah. Any more questions regarding to what was taken today?
You know, the regarding the bid'ah, some of them they say they relate some of issues like baby test tubes.
Baby what?
Baby test tubes.
What was that? So, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you put egg and thing.
Put in another woman, another womb.
Is it? Okay, and then what happens? The baby. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I don't know anything about this. Akhi, Allahu alam. We lost the mashayikh, inshallah.
Basically, the issue of the medical,
okay,
what the doctors do, yeah, with it. Some of the people are the bid'ah,
yeah,
saying that the issue of good bid'ah,
yeah,
is that right?
Yeah,
they
that's right.
Say that.
But is this any issue related to religion? No, 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 like. And
but there's an opinion of the scholar regarding this. There's something.
Is it?
Yeah, they play or they change
them. Oh, okay. Well, like,
this issue regarding the medicine. So
yeah.
When they are weak, they couldn't, like...
Why is there a type of medicine they get and they...
Some people can't reproduce, that's why...
Okay, nam. It's a bit too modern for me, isn't it?
We have famous
inshallah, yani, if they...
Children, they do it too much.
Is it?
People die, okay. They couldn't get baby,
okay, subhanAllah. Yeah.
After years, one doctor, he repented to Allah and he said, Allah, I took my things, I bought it to them. And this is beautiful.
SubhanAllah, yeah. Okay.
It's really dangerous.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
They do everywhere, even in the Muslim country. Yeah.
Inshallah, if anyone has this kalam of the ulama regarding this, I'm going to, inshallah, ask the mashayikh as well.
Yeah.
What does Sheikh Uthaymeen say? Is it? Okay. Yeah.
So he said personally, I will not give verdict until I know.
Okay, subhanAllah, yeah. Inshallah, we search on the issue. And
Wala and Dara, as you know, we are living in this country, some people that reverted to Islam and their parents.
Oh, regarding the parents, Jayid. Okay, I wanted to speak to that about that today as well, but I forgot about it. طيب, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in the Quran, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِمَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And if they strive against you, meaning your parents, if they strive against you to make you worship or to make you commit shirk, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not follow them on this. وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفة. طيب, but be a companion to them in the worldly affairs, okay, in a good way. So your parents, okay, if they're good to you, be good to them, okay. And likewise, try to give them da'wah, try to call them billati ahsan, in a very good way, okay. As for us, يعني going to attack our parents after us attending the Islam, becoming Islam or Muslimin and things like that, then this is not something that is mentioned in the tafasir of this ayah. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned another ayah لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروا ما تقسطوا إليهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't prevent you. Those that haven't fought against you and likewise exited you from your houses due to your religion, that you're good to them, and likewise show justice towards them. Okay? So you be good to your parents and likewise show softness to them, try to call them to the religion of Islam and try to be very, very good to them, and always by calling them to the religion of Al-Islam. Mashallah. The brother. Okay, mashallah. Jade. I remember the khissa is in Bukhari. Naam. Khissa is in Bukhari. The story of the brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him, mentioned a very, very good khissa story of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that his mother, she used to curse, or she used to speak badly about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Hurairah went to complain to his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said that my mom, she keeps cursing you, she keeps speaking bad about you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her mother, made dua for his mother, Abu Hurairah's mother. So when Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu went back to his mother, she saw him making wudu, likewise washing herself.
Like the door was closed, he could not get in.
Yeah.
And then he had to wait.
Yeah. MashaAllah. Yeah. Before he arrived, she had already become Muslim. Yani, to show you that he was patient with his mother, he didn't go attack her or knock her out, put her in a headlock, you know? So he was very, very patient with his mother. And after a time, alhamdulillah, she... Akhi, I've realized dua is the weapon of the person. A person can be so depressed, have nothing. Naam, wallahi, I have absolutely nothing. Make one dua and so much things happens. So much things happens, wallahi. I remember there was a time, ya akhwan, I could not memorize the Quran. I would sit a whole day. I'd be sleeping maybe 4 hours a day. Yani, and when I go to the teacher to read one page, I'm talking about not like a two-sided page, just one page, it's like I haven't even read it. Okay, but I'd be making dua. You find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it easy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things easy, makes your da'wah easier, makes a lot of things easier. And وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْذُورًا. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to change anything in a very quick manner. Naam. Sorry? Naam. You should have like the certainty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gonna accept your dua. Naam. Quick one. طيب إن شاء الله أبشر أوكي سبحانك اللهم وبحمده أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.